Well, as we get ready for the word this morning, let me just open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the month of October we've had here at Forward. It's been a blessing where many have been set free indeed, Lord. Many perceptions have changed, Father, and a lot of joy has come back. I just pray today, Lord, as we close this series, that today be the day that someone understands once and for all that they have authority, they have freedom, and power in your name, Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you speak through me today. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50. Beginning at verse 18, we're going to read two scriptures here. The word of God says, "His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him." That's Joseph. "So his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God?'" Powerful question Joseph says here. "Am I in the place of God? 'You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children and reassure them.'" And he spoke kindly to them. It's powerful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says in the New Testament, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will." Amen. I want to speak to you guys this morning on the subject of breaking patterns. A pattern is simply something that occurs repeatedly and regularly, and repeat so much and so regularly that this pattern becomes just a way of life. So all of us here in our lives, every day of our life, every day we wake up to the time we go to bed, our entire day is made up of patterns. Patterns can be good. You can have good patterns, like waking up your kids and telling them you love them being the first thing they hear, and being kind to your wife and being honest and having integrity. Those are all patterns that are good and will bless your life. Every day of our lives, we have patterns. Patterns occur repeatedly and become a way of life. And according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says that patterns, we can conform to them. See, God says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. So we have good patterns and we have bad patterns. And God says that patterns have the possibility, we have the possibility of making bad patterns conform to our lives. That word conform literally means to comply with, as a standard. So when we put it together, what God is really saying here is negative bad patterns can be a standard in our lives. A standard in which God does not want us to live by. And if you have a negative wrong pattern in your life, it will wreak havoc on the life that God wants you to live. It will wreak havoc on your family. It will wreak havoc on your health. It will wreak havoc on your spiritual life with the Lord. So the Bible is clear that bad patterns are everywhere. And we can fall victim to conforming to these patterns, making it a standard. In fact, this is what the devil wants for your life. He wants to make sin and wrong behavior and attitudes and bondage a standard of living for you. A pattern where you just accept it. Because the devil knows the second you conform to the wrong patterns in life, you'll never change it. Because you've accepted it. It's a standard for you now. It's a regular thing. It's a norm. Why change something that is so regular in your life? Bad patterns. Selfishness can be a bad pattern. Unforgiveness can be a pattern. Addiction is a pattern. Being critical and negative of others in life can be a pattern. It's just a standard. It's who you've become. Anxiety can become a pattern. Every day you're anxious about something. Anger can become a pattern. That you're just angry about life. You take your anger out on everyone else. You're just angry in everything that you do. That's a standard for you. It's a pattern. Jealousy and pride. All of this can become patterns in our lives that keep you from the life and the freedom and the joy and the peace that Jesus Christ died for you to obtain. And if you're not careful, these negative patterns we conform to can become such a standard in our lives that we see it as normal and we live with it with no desire any longer to change it. It's amazing to me how many people conform to wrong patterns and how the devil deceives them into making it a standard. But can I tell you, if you have any negative patterns in your life and it's become a standard and you've conformed to it, that is not healthy and that is not normal for a believer in this life. It's not normal for you to be selfish all the time. It's not normal, it's not standard, and it's not humanistic for you to live in unforgiveness and bitterness constantly every day. It's not normal for you to have a bondage of addiction for years. None of that is normal. You have made it normal by conforming to it as a standard of living. So if you're not careful, the devil can deceive you into thinking that negative, wrong, destructive patterns are just the way of your life. So don't pray about it. Don't believe it could ever change. And just conform to it. Because all of these patterns, the selfishness, the unforgiveness, the anger, the addiction, the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the negativity, the criticism, all of that is just a standard. And you got to get used to it. It's never going to change. It's never going to get better. Live with it. This is what the devil wants to do in your life. And there are so many people, I'm convinced, that come to church and have a pattern in their life that remains unbroken. You've lost your joy, you've lost peace, you've lost comfort, you've lost your praise because of wrong patterns that you've conformed to. Let me tell you a spiritual truth here about this. Patterns happen in our lives. In fact, how many of you are thinking of a negative pattern in your life right now? Just show me your hands real quick. I'm not going to judge you. All right. All of us have patterns. Some of us are born with them. Some of them are raised with them. Some of them, they just happened yesterday. Patterns just come. But they don't have to stay. Patterns might show up in your life, but you can be set free from them. You can break destructive patterns in your life. Anything that's become a hindrance to your life, that's become regular and a standard, you can break. You can break patterns in your life. It could have been years, months, weeks, days, or hours. No matter what pattern you're going through right now, it can be broken. The devil just doesn't want you to know that. Patterns can be broken. And let me give you Three easy steps to break patterns in your life. You guys want them? Three easy steps to break patterns if you're tired of them. And they all start with R. I did my homework. R, so you can remember them. Number one, become restless. You're like, we're pastor, we shouldn't be restless. No, the Bible says to be restless. Restless. Let me give you an example in Genesis chapter 27, verse 40. This is a story about Esau. Esau was betrayed by his evil twin, Jacob. And he has this evil twin that just messed him up. He took the birthright from him. It was supposed to be Esau. Esau was supposed to have a different life, a life of blessing, but he made a mistake. He sold his birthright to his evil twin brother, and all of a sudden he's living with anger and bitterness and regret, and he goes to his father because the father had the power to bless. The father had the power to just proclaim the blessing upon his children. So Jacob deceives Esau. Esau runs to his father in tears, and he says, Dad, please bless me. I want to change. I don't want to live this way. And notice what his father tells him. You will live by the sword. You will serve your brother. But when you grow what? Restless. You will throw his yoke from off your neck. Notice the instruction his father gave him. He made a mistake. All of us can relate to that. He's been betrayed. He's been lied to. He's been tricked. All of us know someone that might have done that to us. And he's living with anger. He's living with bitterness. He's living with regret. He's living with shame. He's living with guilt. He goes to the father, and the father tells him an amazing thing. This is not the end for you, Esau. Because I feel like God is telling someone here today, this may be you now, but it doesn't have to be you forever. It can break free. Notice two things that his father tells him. You will serve your brother. The word serve there literally means in the Hebrews, become a slave to. And then he says, when you are a slave to your brother, you're a slave to your brother now. But when you become restless, you will take that yoke off you. The second thing the father says is the yoke, which represents burden, will come off. So it's important that you guys understand this, because his father said, listen, Esau, Jacob lied to you. Jacob should have loved you. Jacob should have been there for you. Jacob should have been faithful to you. But he tricked you. He was selfish. He hurt you. I get it. And now you're a slave to him. I wonder today, how many of you are a slave to someone that hurts you? What that means is, when someone hurts you, they're all you think about. They're all the reason you're mad. You treat other people wrong because of them. You can't stop thinking about them. You can't stop talking about them. They're always on your mind. And I hate to tell you this, then you have become a slave to that person. That person is now your master. They control you and your emotions and your joy and your happiness. So Esau became a slave to Jacob. And if someone has lied to you, if someone has mistreated you, and someone has hurt you, and you cannot get over it, and it still bothers you till this day, you are a slave to that person. But notice that his father said, Esau, if you become restless, and that word restless literally means to be unsettled. So what his father tells him is, Esau, don't settle. Don't conform. Because if in our minds, when we've been hurt and betrayed and mistreated and we're a slave to that person, there's a temptation to just settle and say, I'll never forgive them. There's a temptation to settle and say, I'll never trust someone again. I'll never love someone again. I can't get over what Jacob did, and I'm not going to settle. And his father said, Jacob hurts you. But Esau, don't settle. Your life can change. The bondage can come off you. The yoke can come off you. A bondage is what has you in pain and in struggle because of the person you're enslaved with. A bondage can be guilt and anger and bitterness and discontentment because of someone else in your life. And his father says, if you don't settle, but become restless, that bondage can be lifted. And in the end, Esau forgave his brother. God blessed him. His life changed. He had wealth. He had an amazing family. He had land. What happened? Somewhere between the betrayal and him meeting Jacob again, he learned to forgive and let it go. And he did not settle for bitterness and anger and guilt because Esau resolved that what is that going to do for my life? So let me ask you, if you're enslaved to someone else this morning, how has it benefited you now in your life? What good is it for you to remain angry with that person, remain bitter towards that person, remain discontent because of that person? What good is it for you to settle with guilt and regret and shame? What good is it to settle and say, I'll never love and trust again? How is that going to benefit or bless the life that God wants to give you? You have to learn to forgive and let them go. And don't settle. Don't conform. And Esau made the choice. Am I going to stay angry and settle? Or am I going to take my father's advice and become restless until this burden is lifted? You might be saying right now, well, I don't think I can forgive, or you don't know who hurt me. I may not know, but God does. And if God can forgive you, you can forgive them. Well, I was just born this way. I'm just a bitter person. Great. Good news. The Bible says you need to be born again. No excuses. So we have to learn that we cannot remain settled and conform to any form of unforgiveness, bitterness, or bad pattern. Number two, after I've become restless, that I'm not going to settle for this, but break from it, you have to recognize. So I become restless, and now I recognize. Recognize what? First, recognize that there is a pattern in your life. Patterns cannot be broken until you acknowledge them. And when you've recognized patterns in your life, recognize where it came from. I'll tell you right now, I will help you to understand where it came from. You might be thinking, look, Pastor, that's impossible because I don't even know where it came from. I don't know if it was my parents. I don't know if it was my childhood. I don't know if it's my job, my environment, my kids. I don't know where this pattern came from, but I can tell you where it came from right now. It came from your mind. Recognize that all negative, destructive, demonic patterns in your life start in your mind. If there's a pattern of selfishness, the selfish person has themselves in their mind. If it's a pattern of unforgiving, don't you understand that the unforgiving person has the offense in mind? If it's a pattern of anxiety, don't you understand that it is because you're thinking in your mind what could go wrong and all the problems you have and everything that's playing in your mind, it's putting fear in you. Everything that you have in your life, every sin, every pattern began with thought. No one wakes up and says, I think today I'll have an affair. It starts with the thought. No one wakes up and says, I think I'm just going to be addicted to this. Never tried it. Why don't what? Let's try it. No. No one in their right mind thinks that way. It just starts with a thought. A thought of the temptation of it. Can I get away with it? What is it going to be like? No one runs to a pornographic website and clicks by accident. It's a thought. Everything that you have in your life, every pattern starts with a thought. The root issue of every pattern is your thought life. Proverbs 23:7 proves this. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, read this here. For as he, what? Thinks within himself. What are you thinking towards yourself? So he, what? Is. As you think, so you are. What is the Bible talking about? It says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Because the way you think will determine ultimately how you're going to act, how you're going to speak, how you're going to treat others, the viewpoint of your life, everything starts in your mind. So the Bible says the way you think will determine what you're going to become. So let me ask you this profound question. What have you been thinking about lately? And tell me you're not becoming that. Are you thinking anxious thoughts? Are you not an anxious person today? Are you thinking thoughts of bitterness and resentment? Are you not today a bitter, resentful person? Are you thinking critically? And are you not a critical person now? Are you thinking lustfully? And are you not struggling with lust right now? You see, everything that you have in your life starts in your mind. That's where every pattern starts. Thought life. Your life is all made up of thoughts that will determine how you feel, how you think, how you act, how you live. To dig further into this, this is why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, talking about the devil. As the Bible was talking to this church about the devil, the Bible says this amazing warning. Peter says, be sober-minded. Sober in spirit. That word spirit literally translates. If you have any other translation in the Bible, it says sober-minded. That word spirit literally translates your mind. So it says, be sober in your mind. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Isn't it interesting? As Peter is warning people about spiritual warfare and battles, notice that when he references the devil, the only thing Peter says is, watch out with your mind. He didn't say, watch your mouth. Watch your nose, watch your eyes, watch your ears, watch your feet. Hey, watch your hands. No, he said, watch your mind. Why? Because if Satan can get to your mind, he has gotten to everything else. You guys with me this morning? So Peter says, listen, be sober-minded. Watch how you think. Be alert. Because there is a devil in the spiritual warfare that we're in. And your mind is that battlefield. Your mind is the battlefield between God and Satan. And Satan is trying to impute all these negative thoughts to get you to live with a negative pattern. So if you have negative patterns in your life, such as selfishness and unforgiveness, if there's addiction and bondage, if you're a critical, jealous, negative person, if you're living with fear or pride, let me tell you that all of that started with your mind. A prideful person thinks himself highly than others. Every thought that you have will determine who you are, how you live. So once I become restless because I'm not going to conform to this negative pattern in my life, and once I recognize where it comes from, it's in my mind. And what's the solution? If every sin and every negative pattern started with my mind, then it has to end with your mind. I was watching a movie with my brothers this week about these men that fight fires in the wilderness. But what I noticed about this movie, as these 19 men went out into the forest to fight this fire, they didn't use water, they used fire. Where the term fighting fire with fire comes from. So they use this fire to burn out other trees and draw a line. So that when the wildfire spreads and comes, once it reaches that line, there's nothing left to burn. And I thought to myself, I said, what a picture of how Satan operates. See, every forest fire starts with a little lightning or a little spark, but then it just spreads wildly. So Satan will put these little thoughts into your head that grow. And these thoughts, we feed them. We keep thinking about them. And the more you think about something, the greater you feed it. But these men decide to burn it with fire. So they use the same weapon to fight it. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here. To fight fire with fire. If Satan uses your mind to bring you down, you have to use your mind to bring him down. If Satan is using your thought life to destroy you, you have to use your thought life to destroy him. If it started with your mind, it ends with your mind. If it started with your thoughts, it will finish with your thoughts. You have to fight fire with fire and use the enemy's weapon against him. That's why the Bible says, number three, after I become restless, I'm not going to settle for any negative patterns in my life. And after I've recognized that it comes from my mindset, number three, I have to renew my mind. So you become restless, you recognize, and you renew. Renew your mind. Romans 12, the one we opened up with, said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the Bible taught us that patterns start at the mind, and it also teaches us that patterns are transformed through the mind as well. So, Pastor, what do you mean by this? When I begin to be disciplined in how I think, that's when patterns begin to break. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5 instructs the church. Notice, the weapons of our warfare is talking about spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every what? Every thought captive. So when the Bible is talking about spiritual warfare here, It starts to say, they're going to come through your thoughts. And they're going to set themselves up as strongholds. A stronghold is a pattern of thinking. It's a pattern. So notice this, that the Bible says, as we go through this spiritual warfare in your life, thoughts are going to set itself up, which really grabbed my attention because I noticed there that it doesn't say that you're going to think these thoughts. These thoughts are just going to pop up. You ever felt that before? They just occur. You're like, why am I thinking of this right now? And usually at the worst time, right now at church, a psychologist did a study on lust and said that most men think about sex the most while in church. You look at your husband, he's like, not me. But it's crazy. Your mind begins to drift and you're thinking right now, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm just thinking. And maybe it's not even in church, but have you ever just been driving or eating and the worst thought just pops up? Thoughts that just come out of nowhere. You should quit. Hey, why don't you end your life? Hey, why don't you know this person can't stand you. You know no one likes you. You're like living life and the thought comes that you'll never amount to any. You're like, where is this coming from? The Bible says that spiritual warfare. It sets itself up. You don't set it up. So when those thoughts set up in itself, the Bible commands us to take it captive. Take every thought captive. Don't let it loose. Don't let it run wild in your imagination. Don't entertain it. The Bible says take every thought captive. That word captive literally means, it's a wrestling term that means to bring down under submission. It's like when you're chasing someone and you overpower them and you bring them down. So the Bible teaches us that we need to chase our thoughts. We need to overpower them and make them submissive to the Word of God. It says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Word of God. So that's a spiritual discipline and how to defeat patterns in your life. When these thoughts occur in your life, don't just entertain it. Don't just ignore it. Just ask yourself, are these thoughts right? Are they true? How do they make me feel? If any thought in your life makes you feel angry, guilty, shameful, or like giving up, I can tell you right now, that is not from God. If you have any thoughts of shame and that you're not good enough and you should just quit on life and quit this whole God thing and you should hate this person, that is not from God. Because God is a God of love and a God of peace and a God of order. And if your thoughts are not giving you any of that, that is not from God. So when I see these thoughts just set itself up, it's my job now to take it captive. How? By making it obedient to the Word of God. The Bible says renewing your mind is replacing those thoughts with the Word of God. What does God say about what I'm thinking of right now? If I'm thinking that I'm not good enough and I can't be forgiven, how do I take that thought captive and make it obedient to the Word of God? By recognizing that the Bible says that if you confess your sins to God, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of all your sins. And if you believe that and make that Word of God the authority of that thought, no matter how much that thought tries to bring you down in your transgression, you have just renewed your mind and said, no, devil, because thus says the Lord. And you renew your mind and you keep telling yourself, and the Word of God is the authority of every thought that comes into your life. Every thought. If the Word of God is not the authority in your life, then your emotions will be. And that's why there's patterns happening all over your life that are destructive. Because you have not taken captive your thoughts, rather have allowed the captive thoughts to take you captive. And they're overpowering you. And you're losing this wrestling match with your thoughts. And you'll be surprised how many people are just wrestling with all these thoughts in their life. When God says, you can make those thoughts subject to my word. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. The battlefield is your mind. The weapon of choice is your thoughts. Satan will use your thoughts to bring you down. But ironically, you can also use your thoughts to defeat him. It's all about how you think. It's not hypnosis. It's not positive reinforcement. It's this. The Word of God. Is this the authority in your mind? It's a discipline. Learn it. Memorize it. Quote it. Because you never know when you're in the battlefield, you might need it. Thoughts are going to come. The Bible promises you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform is a word that means metamorphosis, complete change. We're not talking little change. How many of you understand what little change is? Little change. You're like, I change Monday through Tuesday. I give up Wednesday. I repent on Thursday. I do it all over again on Sunday. Sunday's your day of renewal. So today you're going to repent and change. And then Monday comes, and some of you, not even the afternoon, and you're back at it. People, that is not change. That's not change. When the Bible talks about be transformed, it's the type of change that you never go back to your old ways. You never go back to that life. You never go back to that change, that sin. It is a complete and utter 100% transformation. That's what happens when you discipline yourself to renew your mind. Renew your mind. So when I become restless and say, God, I want to be blessed. I don't want to settle for a life of bitterness and unforgiveness and addiction and criticism and jealousy. I'm not going to settle because I know I can break patterns. And when I recognize that all the patterns in my life are in my mind, then therefore I now have to renew my mind in order to break the patterns that have set themselves up in my life. Are you guys with me this morning? This is your freedom that we're talking about here. It's in your mind. Every sin, every bondage, everything is in your thoughts. Your thoughts have to be submissive to the Word of God. The Word of God has to be truth over anything I see, feel, or experience. And when I renew my mind, I'm replacing bad thoughts with right thoughts. And that's the Word of God. So why the story of Joseph? So I began to study this pattern thing last Sunday. The Lord led me to the story of Joseph, and I didn't understand why. But when we read that verse in Genesis 50, chapter 18, Joseph was sold by his own brothers. His brothers were literally sellouts. Literally. Joseph had dreams, visions of greatness. Joseph came from a life of a lavish life. His family was wealthy. And one day his brothers came and sold him, threw him in a well to be sold into slavery. He was sold to Egypt, and his whole life, his whole pattern changed. It's one thing to be born a slave. It's a whole other thing to become a slave. Why? Because Joseph came from a life of being wealthy to now being a slave. Has it ever felt like your life has gone from better to worse? That's Joseph. That might be you today. And as Joseph was in Egypt, as a slave, it gets worse. He gets thrown into prison for years. Joseph's life was all about betrayal, being taken advantage of, lied about. His whole life was hard because of the actions of someone else. Who am I preaching to? As I read this, years later, his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. Because now Joseph, he's on top. Second in command of all of Egypt. His brothers come and say, "We're sorry. I can't imagine what Pharaoh will do here." Sorry. That's it. But his brothers come up to him and say, "Hey, Joseph, we're sorry." And as you read this, you're like, "Oh man, give it to him, Joseph." And he's like, "Don't worry about it. In fact, I'm going to provide for you." Because God said that there would be a famine for 7 years. His brothers met him in 2 years after. So there was 5 years of famine left. So God is literally challenging him for the next 5 years. Serve them, feed them, bless them. How many of you say, "Oh, okay, God, that's cool"? Some of you are like, "No. Let him starve. Let him die." So I read this story and I thought to myself, why is the Lord leading me to this passage? I don't see the connection. But notice what Joseph said here. As he was sold to them as slaves, he says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of what? Of God." So he's saying, "I'm not going to play God and make you punish and suffer for it. I'm not going to play God. I'm leaving you in God's hands." So Joseph teaches us a powerful principle of what forgiveness looks like. I leave you in God's hands, and while I do that, I meet your needs. I bless you. I'm kind to you. How many of you forgive now? Thank you for being honest. Real forgiveness is giving vengeance over to God, and if need be, you bless your enemies. I know we're not there yet as a church, so I'm not even going to preach on this yet. But notice what he said in the next verse. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done." So let me close with this and explain to you what got me here. That word intended. You intended to harm me. See, when you look at that, you might not think it's a big deal, but that word in the Hebrew literally means to weave, like to sew, to make a pattern. And I know what the Lord was saying to me here. See, when you weave something, a basket or a rug or a blanket, whatever, it involves you taking two lines and crossing it. So let me ask you this question. How many people in your life have crossed a line with you? Are you thinking about them? How many people crossed a line by lying to you? By leaving you, by betraying you, by hurting you the way they did. They took advantage of you. They abused you physically, sexually, emotionally. And they crossed the line. You'll be surprised how many people, like Joseph, he said to his brothers, "You crossed the line when you sold me as a slave. You crossed the line when you betrayed me. You crossed the line when you abandoned me." That's what Joseph was saying. He wasn't saying it in a positive way. He was literally telling them, "You crossed the line. You used me like some little weaving tool. And you crossed the line." But I love what Joseph does here, because Joseph teaches me that no matter how many people have crossed the line with you, even though his brothers crossed the line, and that's what hurts the most, when someone you love crossed the line, When someone you expected would be there for you crosses the line. When someone you made vows to, when someone that was your brother, your sister, when it's someone that should have been by your side crosses the line. That's painful. But Joseph never made unforgiveness and anger and bitterness a pattern just because his brothers crossed the line. He actually fed them and provided for them. And he never made unforgiveness a pattern. As he's working in the palace, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him day after day. Since the Bible time, it's the women that are bad. She's seducing him, tempting him. Come to bed with me, Joseph. Come to bed. Come on, one time. Because, you see, it's not just when people cross the line, but it's when the devil tries to get you to cross the line to sin. That's a whole other weaving tactic the devil uses. Cross the line one time. Just cross the line. Just this one sin. It's not going to hurt you. No one's going to know. It's going to feel great. No one's going to find out. Cross the line, Joseph. But Joseph stayed firm and did not cross the line. And then she crosses the line by going to her husband and saying, he raped me. And she lied about him. And they got Joseph and they threw him into prison. What I love about this is Joseph never crossed the line with her because Joseph was not about to make a pattern of sin. A pattern of secret and lies. But he still got thrown into prison. Isn't God fair? And in this prison cell, he never had a pity pattern. Like some of us do. When life is hard and life is unfair, you get yourself into this little pity mode of, and this pattern of pity and why me and my life is bad and my life is so much harder than others. You don't think that he could have had a pattern of bitterness towards God? Because it's one thing when your brother crosses the line. It's another thing when another person crosses the line. But what about when it feels in life like God has crossed the line with you? Can we be honest enough to say that sometimes you're tempted to tell God, I think you crossed the line here. When you took this from me, when you allowed me to go through this, I think, God, you crossed the line. He could have said that. You know why? Because he's in the prison cell and Potiphar's wife, the one that lied, is in the palace. You ever feel like God puts you in the prison and he puts your enemies in the palace? And he's made your life harder and the person that hurt you the most, they're living life, they're having fun, they're okay, and you're the one suffering. Does it ever feel like God has crossed the line? And the Bible never mentions her again. It doesn't say, and God got her back. Nothing. Could you handle that? When God doesn't show you what he does to your enemies? Come on, I'm preaching. Because you're here and you're saying, well, it's not fair and life is so hard. I'm in the prison. She's in the palace. And God, you crossed the line. I was fair. I was honest. I was faithful. I served you. I didn't cross the line with sin. I forgave. I don't understand. And here I am in the prison. Woe is me. My life is terrible. Until years later, he gets out. And to his amazement, this said, Joseph, you're now second in command of all of Egypt. Talk about next level stuff, right? Why did God allow Joseph to get to the bottom? Because he had planned for Joseph to reach the top. And from the bottom to the top is a process of development. What Joseph thought was a pattern was only a process. If you're telling yourself it's going to be like this forever, can I tell you that the pattern is just a process and the Lord is using everything you're going through to develop to where He wants you to be? So don't you give up. Don't you allow the wrong pattern, because the wrong pattern can ruin your destiny and the plans that God has for your life. So Joseph looks at his life. He only recognizes it after he looks at everything that he went through. And he said, "You crossed the line." But no matter how many times a line was crossed in my life, it's only because God was bringing about a better pattern for me. See, when you're weaving something and all the lines are getting crossed, it looks like a mess. It's a wreck. And your life may look like everyone just crossing the line. God's crossing the line. Your family's crossing the line. People and everything in your life is unfair and hard. And there's all these negative patterns trying to form. But every time a line is crossed, it's only an indication that God is bringing out a better pattern. That God is working in your life. And it was there that I recognized and realized what God wanted us to learn today as a church. That it's only a process. But the devil tells you it's a pattern. It's forever. How did Joseph do it? How did Joseph hold on through all of this? Simple. The Word of God says in Psalm 105:17, it talks about Joseph. And it says that he was sent as a slave. A man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons until what was foretold came to pass. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. And I want to tell you this morning, God is going to prove himself to you. God is going to prove that his word will prevail over any line that's crossed, over any circumstances, no matter what. I believe that Joseph conformed to the right patterns instead of the wrong patterns during all the lines crossing, because he held on to the Word of God and the dream that God had given him. So whatever lines are crossed in your life, hold on to the Word of God and make the Word of God the authority over your mindset, so that in the end, you will look back and God will say, "I told you so." That's my version. "I told you so." So let me close this thought. This whole series was one thing. You guys want it? To be sold as a slave. You never got out of that. Never. Example, in that culture, if you married someone as a slave, that person you married will become a slave. If you had children, those children will become slaves. Your generations will become slaves. Slavery, when you were in that time and you were sold into slavery, it was a pattern to conform to. You're not going to get out of this. You'll never be set free. Isn't it amazing that God got Joseph out of something that no one has ever gotten out of? I'm telling you today, there might be a pattern in your thinking saying, "I'll never come out of this. This is a pattern forever." But let this be a reminder that if you hold on to the Word of God, maintain your integrity, and trust in Him, no matter how many lines are crossed, the Lord will get you out of anything. And He will make good out of all the lines that have been crossed in your life. Do you receive this morning? Everything. So you might be in the prison, and someone else is in the palace. They might have crossed the line. But if you see a negative pattern forming in your mind, Renew your mind. Recognize it, that it's in your mind, and defeat it with your mindset. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray today to close this. And I want to close this series by praying for you. And you've recognized right now the Lord, their Holy Spirit has just shown you today. Your problem is the pattern of your thinking. And you have these reoccurring thoughts that you've made standard for your life. And if there's a negative pattern in your life today, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you really want to be set free, you stand right now as an act of confession saying, Lord, I stand because I'm in a pattern. God bless you. All around the room, you stand. If you're listening online, you stay with me on this. And identify what the pattern is. And confess that every pattern in your life can be broken. I don't care if you were raised with it, if your mom and your grandma and your mama's mama had it. I don't care who in your family suffered through it. Everything that has formed as a pattern in your life can be broken and you can be set free from it. Don't let the devil tell you the lines have been way too crossed for you to come out. The Lord is doing something good out of all the lines that have been crossed in your life. The pattern is the problem. And I want you to pray this prayer of confession. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it loud like you want it. Say, Lord Jesus. In you and only you are the patterns broken in my thoughts. I will stand on your word as the authority of my life. And in Jesus' name, break every pattern that is not honoring to you and set me free. And you tell the Lord right now what that pattern is. Say, so, Lord, set me free from the pattern, and you fill in the blank. What pattern are you going through that you want broken? Is it a pattern of unforgiveness? Is it a pattern of fear? Is it a pattern of betrayal and loneliness? Insecurity? Denounce that in the name of Jesus. And refuse to make that another pattern in your life. Lord, in Jesus' name, for every pattern that has set itself up against you and your word and your knowledge, Father, we defeat it by your word and your authority. Your word will stand over any emotion, any feeling, anything that we go through. And Father, no matter how many lines have been crossed, you can make something good out of it. You are accomplishing your will through the crossing of many lines. So Father, in Jesus' name, we know that you can get us out of anything. Any pattern will be broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and only in the name of Jesus, are you set free from any negative, harmful, destructive pattern of thinking that has robbed you and enslaved you of the life that God wants you to live. And in Jesus' name, forgive those who have crossed the line. Because you are not in the place of God. And trust God with your life. Father, thank you for this message. And I pray here at Forward today for anyone whose patterns need to break. I thank you that in Jesus' name they're breaking right now. Bondage is breaking. Addiction is breaking. Regret of the past. Bondage of sin. Fear and anxiety is breaking in the name of Jesus. There's no longer a standard of living for you when you walk out this church. Embrace the freedom that you have. Father, thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a shout of praise today. If your patterns have been broken,